We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good evening and once again, welcome into the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network, another edition along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. I'm Christian Garrick, and Mickey, the bye week, how was it and how different was it than previous bye weeks in the years past?
Christian, good to be with you, number one. It was different, and yet, man, it was fantastic. You know, we weren't able to travel due to the protocols that the league's put in place, so you couldn't leave town. Typically, I think a large group of us, and me and myself included, would, you know, get away for a few days. But we weren't able to do that, so we had a staycation. And, look, we got some work in as well, so I think it was a good week.
It's an opportunity for you guys to get some of your players extra treatment, some opportunities to rest some guys, and maybe make them available in the coming weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. The bye week, whenever it occurs, gives your team a chance to recover and rest up, come back with some additional energy, and we were certainly able to get that done this week.
How difficult was the weekend? It's supposed to be where you can spend some time with your family, but also the league doesn't stop. I mean, you got games that I'm sure you guys are interested in at least spending time watching, but balancing that with family, how do you do that?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, it's nice to watch games without the tension and the stress of your own contest that's going to happen over the weekend. So that's a little different than most weekends. But part of the equation now is we're watching and paying attention to, who's got positive tests and who is impacted in terms of practice and what they can do in their facility and how are they handling that. So there's more things to pay attention to, each week, and you're able to do that a little more closely when you're not playing.
The Carolina Panthers coming to town this week. New head coach Matt Rhule, also a familiar face that you guys know at quarterback with Teddy Bridgewater. But we'll get to Teddy in a few moments. But what do you see out of Carolina sitting at 3-3?
Yeah, look, I think they're doing fantastic. They're playing well. The games that they've lost, some close games, and they've won. I think three out of the last four. So they've done a great job, which is hard to do when you have a lot of new players. You have virtually an entirely new staff, and you weren't able to have an off-season program or preseason. So I think what they've done so far is pretty remarkable.
Facing a familiar face this week at quarterback and Teddy Bridgewater, he was in this very building for the last two seasons. If you can, just talk about his time here first before we get into his play.
Yeah, I think first of all, and we expected this when we first signed Teddy and had him here, is we knew what a remarkable person that he was and the leadership qualities that he has and had. So that none of that was a surprise. Look, he made a lot of progress before he got to us. In terms of recovery from his injury, and then we also saw that improvement during the time that he was here. And our memories of him being here are pretty fond. We think a lot of him, both as a person and a quarterback. I was disappointed, I'm not going to lie, that he signed with Carolina and not a team in another division. So, but that's okay. We're happy that he's found a home and found some success.
How do you think he's playing so far?
Yeah, I think he's playing really well, and I think, look, he's a large reason why, their team is where they're at.
When you look at that offense, is it similar to the one here in New Orleans?
Yeah, I think, obviously, Joe was here and did a lot of things at LSU that we did and put his own spin on some things, and he's doing the same in Carolina.
I would imagine you look at this Carolina Panthers roster and you're pretty familiar with it. When you look at how many former Saints are on this roster, you got Chris Manhertz, Eli Apple, Keith Kirkwood. So from a standpoint of personnel, I would imagine you feel good about understanding their roster?
Well, look, I think two things. You know, obviously they're a team we face twice a year, so you're familiar with the people that have been on their team, but they've had a lot of turnover this last year, and they've had some guys that were longtime really good players for them that aren't there any longer, and you know, Greg Olson and Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis and some people that aren't there. So it's a different team than what we've been looking at the last few years. Obviously a new coach and they do some different things, and so I would say probably not as familiar with them as we might have been in the past.
He's Mickey Loomis. I'm Christian Garrick. It's the Saints Hour. Up next, Bill Polian, Pro Football Hall of Fame member class of 2015, one of the greatest general managers I think that's ever been held that post. We'll continue here on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Saints Hour, the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. I'm Christian Garrick, and we're going to welcome in Bill Polian, Pro Football Hall of Fame member class of 2015. My opinion, one of the greatest GMs that's ever donned that post. I'm going to turn you over to the Saints General Manager, Mickey Loomis, Bill.
Well, Bill, welcome. Thank you for being with us. I echo that. Obviously, one of the great, if not the greatest, general manager in the history of the NFL. So we're excited to have you on the show. I do have, Christian, I've got a quick piece of trivia for you. Bill, I think you went to Mount St. Michael Academy in the Bronx. Is that right?
I did. That's exactly right.
So the trivia here is another alumnus from that school is Sean Puff Daddy Combs. So we got Polian and Puff Daddy from the same school.
That's right. And we were very far apart for years.
That's awesome. Man, I saw that.
I've never met, believe it or not.
Oh, you haven't?
I've met a lot of guys throughout my career, but never Puff Daddy, no.
That's fantastic. Look, Bill, we really miss your work on ESPN. I hope you're a lot more relaxed than you were in your GM days. A lot less tension. I'm sure you're enjoying your time at home.
Well, I am. Still active with Sirius Radio, and I have a podcast called Inside Football with Bill Polian, which keeps me occupied. But it's a lot easier than the travel involved with ESPN. And although I loved my time there, particularly broadcasting the games on ESPN Radio, but it was just time to slow down a little bit, so I haven't. That's good.
Yep, obviously. So, look, Bill, one of the things I was thinking about, look, you and I have known each other for a long time. We're both we were both in the league pre-free agency back in the day, and there's a lot of differences between football, the NFL in that era, and the era today. Look, you're one of the very few successful GMs who was successful pre-free agency with Buffalo, and then was able to adapt and transition into the free agency era. Talk about, look, you built three teams basically from scratch that were really successful. Talk about the differences between the teams you built in Buffalo pre-free agency and then the teams you had in Carolina and Indianapolis, after free agency began.
Well, the obvious one is that once you got a player that you felt could help your team, you had him virtually for all of his career if you wanted it to be that way. And so we got Jim Kelly in 1986, and he stayed throughout his career in Buffalo. Many other players did as well. It wasn't until 93 when after I had left the Bills when things began to break up via free agency, and they lost Will Wolford and Shane Conlon right away, and it was getting to be about time to rebuild those teams anyway, or at least start that had gone to the four straight Super Bowls. But I don't think anybody will ever go to four straight Super Bowls again, simply because the turnover every year, what is it? It's close to 40% now, right?
Yep. Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's too much turnover to repeat beyond maybe a second year if you really, really have a great team and everything breaks your way. So the difference was that you could be good for a longer period of time prior to free agency. And then when free agency came along, now, as you know better than anybody, Mickey, every year your team turns over 40% every year, and you have to juggle who to sign and who not to sign, and work with the coach on that, and develop a system of football where you can fit players in who are not overly expensive. The description is like going from playing checkers, which is very straightforward, to chess, which is really nuanced, and it's much harder to do now than it was before free agency. Much harder. So the job you've done, for example, keeping the Saints on top for as long as you have, and in contention for as long as you have, is really a terrific job. Fans don't realize it, and the media doesn't realize it, but those of us in the business do. It's almost impossible to stay up that long.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that when I think about that era, the way that we drafted, and obviously, you know, there was a period of time where we had more rounds, but you could pick a player with the idea that, we're going to develop this guy and we'll have a real good player 3 or 4 years from now. And today, in today's era of football, that's really hard to do, because 3 or 4 years from now, you may not have the player. You can't wait for him. Talk about that. Do you have that viewpoint?
Oh, absolutely. And I just finished doing an interview with Tom Flores, who's going to the Hall of Fame this summer, as a coach, the former coach of the Oakland Raiders. And Tom reminded me that Snake Stabler sat for 4 years as a backup before he ever got on the field with the Raiders. So that just shows you the difference in the eras. I mean, in today's game, when you if you drafted a quarterback in the first or second round, if he's not on the field the second year, he's a bust, and you're looking to trade him. So it's just everything is sped up at an incredibly rapid rate, and if a player doesn't develop early, you have to move on and start the process again, and then he may go somewhere and succeed. You don't ever know, but it's much more difficult these days.
Saints Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis. We have Bill Polian on the line with us, Pro Football Hall of Fame member, Class of 2015. I'm Christian Garrick. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Community Coffee Saints Radio Network, it's the Saints Hour. Bill Polian, Pro Football Hall of Fame member, Class of 2015, along with Executive Vice President and General Manager of the New Orleans Saints, Mickey Loomis. I'm Christian Garrick, and without further ado, I'll turn you back over to Mickey Loomis.
Bill, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, as you've watched this first month of the NFL, recognizing that, look, teams didn't have an off-season program, they didn't have preseason games, how does the product on the field look to you? What are the little nuances and differences you see? And what's your observations about not having that time in the off season, and how that's reflected in the game that we're watching right now?
Well, the overarching part of it is that it looks far better than I thought it would, and it's far more entertaining than I thought it would be. And I'm amazed that the coaches and the organizations have done as good a job as they have, particularly without the OTAs and the preseason. You know, for those of us like you and I, Mickey, that grew up with the long preseason, it's almost unimaginable that teams could come out of the box and play as well as they did and as entertainingly as they did without the preseason. What suffered, obviously, are the defenses. I was looking at some statistics today. Virtually every team that's a contending team is averaging more than 30 points a game. And so, you know, points are up, and obviously so, because tackling's down. The secondary efficiency in the secondaries against the passing game is not what it was, because there isn't the opportunity to work together in the preseason like we normally have. Dallas is a mess defensively because they're changing systems, and they've had no ability to adjust to the new system. So they're sitting ducks out there. I mean, they can't stop anybody. And it's obvious because they haven't had the opportunity to install a new, probably more complicated system. At New Orleans, you guys are in better shape because there's continuity there. And so you got by without the OTAs and without the preseason a little better than people that are new. They're really stumbling. And even Carolina, who's played pretty well, is struggling on defense. So you're seeing it on defense for sure. To me, the interesting question going forward is, do we need the OTAs? We sure need the preseason games. Now, they're not going to be four anymore. I think we're both in New York to that.
Yeah.
But do we need the OTAs? Because I've sort of made this analogy. In spring training in baseball, they go 6 weeks, essentially. The hitters and position players can be ready in three, but the pitchers take 6 weeks. And so are the OTAs really for the receivers and quarterbacks and back seven as opposed to the big guys? Maybe we don't need the big guys on the field in OTAs. Maybe we don't need the teamwork because the big guys can't hit anybody anyway, which is the only way you learn how to play those positions. Maybe we do other things with them and just have seven on seven throughout the OTAs. Maybe we cut a few OTA days out, do a little more teaching, and a little less competing, and do it in a seven-on-seven mode so that the people who need the lengthy work get it, the pitchers, if you will, and the big guys who don't need it don't run the risk of injuring themselves. Just a food for thought.
Yeah, that's a great perspective. I think the other factor that when we finish the season and look back is going to be the injury rates. You know, how was it remarkably different from prior seasons? And we don't have the answer to that right now, but that'll definitely be a factor.
Yeah, I saw a statistic, by the way, that stunned me. It came from Giddings, so you know the source. There are less players this year on preseason and IR up to this point than there were a year ago. I was shocked.
Yeah,
the numbers are what they are.
Yeah, that is surprising. Well, the other thing too is, you know, we have these new reserve injury rules that allow guys to come back after 3 and 4 weeks. So, that's being utilized by a lot, you know, pretty extensively by teams, being able to put a guy down and bring him back. So,
yeah,
it'll be hard to make those comparisons on an apples to apples basis with prior seasons.
Yeah, you're right.
So I got one more line of questioning here, Bill. Look, as you, I'm sure, are aware, our scouts are not allowed to go onto college campuses this year. And, along with, this fragmented college football season, the no in-person college scouting. Look, if you were still in your role as GM of the Colts or the Panthers or the Bills, how would you approach the evaluations of this year's college class?
Well, you can only do it based on the information that you have in-house from previous years and film study from this year, such as it is. And many of the top draft choices for conferences that are playing late, i.e. the Big Ten and the Pac-12, or playing in the spring like the Group of Five, are not going to play. So we won't. All we've got is what we've got, what's in the hopper from previous years. And you're going to have to go on that and then go on the numbers that you get at the combine. So I think it'll be a lot more difficult. There'll be probably a lot more misses because you haven't seen a guy develop or you haven't seen him up close and personal. You're going to have to do a lot more work in terms of telephonically and electronically to get background on guys, since you can't be on campus and, sit there across the desk from the pro liaison or across the desk from the trainer. All of that is going to have to be done electronically, and it's critical that it get done, and not getting it in person is a drawback. But that's life in COVID-19 era. Everybody's suffering and everybody's doing things differently. So we'll adapt and adjust like we always do. And the people that really have a good handle on things, I think, will do well. And those that can't adapt quite as easily won't.
Bill Polian, Pro Football Hall of Fame member, class of 2015. Thank you so much for the time.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Glad to do it. Good luck to the Saints.
Yep, Bill, thanks so much. Man, I really appreciate you. Look, anytime you need to get a football fix and you want to come down, you're always welcome.
I look forward to it, Mickey. I really will.
Take care, Bill.
All right, that wraps up the Saints Hour here on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network with General Manager and Executive Vice President Mickey Loomis. Mickey, real quick, good luck this Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Once again, thanks for the time.
Christian, thank you so much. And, look forward to being with you next week.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.